From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, in for Vicky Gonzalez. California's budget season has been rolling on for months now, following Governor Gavin Newsom's initial proposal in January and his May revise last month, and the process is now approaching a crucial moment. On Monday, lawmakers approved their version of the state budget, totaling hundreds of billions of dollars, which they say reduces future deficits and maintains support for lower-income residents. But now negotiations really begin between the Capitol and Newsom, as they have to hammer out a final deal before July 1st, when the new fiscal year begins. To help break down what's in the latest budget draft, we're joined now by CAP Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald and Yue Stella Yu, a budget reporter for the nonprofit newsroom Cal Matters, which partners with public media stations across the state, including us here at CAP Radio. Stella and Laura, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. I, along with, you know, the average listener, feel like I want to know a lot about the state budget, but it's such a massive document that touches so many different parts of, like, our lives. Thank you for being able to do the hard work of breaking it down for people like me. So let's lay some of that groundwork, Laura. This legislature has been developing its own budget proposal after Newsom issued his May revise last month. What did that revise plan include?
Yeah. So the legislature's actually been, you know, in truth, developing its budget proposal for months. You know, it really is a year-round process. And it's true that this is definitely crunch time. This is when the deadlines are. This is when it's like really dominating discourse at the Capitol. But budget negotiations, they're a year-round process. They start in the fall. And, you know, when Newsom proposed his May revise last month, he really emphasized that California needs to, quote, tighten its belt, even though revenues were looking like they'd be billions of dollars more than originally projected. He still said we need to be prudent about spending. We need to boost the state's reserves. And so I think he really proposed a budget that sought to make some cuts when it comes to social safety net spending. And what we've seen come from lawmakers now as we head into June is that they've really rejected or at least tried to delay a lot of the cuts that Newsom's proposed to social safety programs. So that's like the main takeaway and where I think the main rub seems to be between the legislature and the governor.
Yeah, and where some of those negotiations will come in. June 15th was the last day for the legislature to pass a budget. But does that deadline mean anything in particular? Does it have teeth?
It's a great question. And yeah, June 15th budget deadline, it's really a formality. I mean, it's the constitutional deadline for lawmakers to pass a balanced budget in order for them to get their paychecks. But they can keep negotiating with the governor until July 1st when the budget has to be signed into law. And then, you know, that also is a squishy deadline because, okay, maybe there is an actual budget act that is signed into law, but they do parts of the budget through what's known as trailer bills. And those aren't subjected to the same legislative deadlines. So they can really consider those, you know, pieces of the spending plan through the end of session, which is in August.
Wow. Yeah. So some flexibility for sure. As long as something comes out, something by June 15th, they can get paid and then still figure out the nitty gritty as things go on.
Yeah, exactly.
Stella, if we look at the legislature's proposed budget, how comprehensive is it? What are some of the numbers?
Yeah. So overall, it is a $356 billion spending plan. And it sounds really big, but it is big every year. And yeah, so overall, I think, you know, just as Laura said, I mean, generally it you know, relies on raising revenues to pay for some of the social services that Newsom originally wanted to cut. I mean, so yeah, generally the budget includes a lot of details, right? Like overall, you have the biggest pot of money would be in health and human services and then education. And then you also have some corrections money. You have a pot of money that's for, you know, climate initiatives and all of these things. So, in general, I mean, as Laura kind of teased and mentioned, I mean, it would delay a lot of the health care cuts that Newsom originally wanted. I mean, that's one of the highlights of the legislative deal. You know, and I'm sure we're going to get into it, but that includes, you know, a Newsom proposal to raise healthcare premium for undocumented immigrants from $30 to $50. The legislature kind of said, hey, this is your last year, you know, we're going to leave this to the next governor to decide. And there's all also Newsom's idea to move some immigrants, like refugees and asylees, from full healthcare coverage to just emergency coverage. And that would be a big deal, a big hit for a lot of these families. And the legislature also said, wait, we're going to kick this down the road by about a year. So in general, you see some of these spending differences that the legislature has laid out. But in general, the legislature has also accepted a lot of Newsom's revenue raising ideas. You know, like a sales tax on your everyday software like Slack or Microsoft, Excel, something like this, to extend a tax on some healthcare providers, and also another Newsom proposal to, reduce tax credits some of the big corporations get. And these are ideas that the legislature have decided to align with.
Yeah, let's get into some more of that healthcare issue. Laura, you've also been covering this. Besides what Stella was just saying, what are some other healthcare coverage for other groups of Californians that you've noticed in this budget?
Yeah, I mean, the big one is when it comes to those premiums for immigrants without legal status, right? Mm-hmm. So they're looking to kind of punt that decision to the next governor, not raising those monthly premiums by $20
a month. Yeah, because Newsom's going out at the end of this year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that was a big issue for lawmakers last year, too. And so this issue is kind of sticking around, and I don't think it's going to be resolved this year. And also, just for context, just for our listeners, too, it's important to keep in mind that, like, under H.R. 1 that Congress passed last year, it's also known as the Big Beautiful Bill, mm-hmm. it would cut Medicaid coverage for a lot of Americans, and that includes around 2 million Californians. And so lawmakers are looking for ways to protect people from those cuts. So when, you know, apart from just looking at immigrants without legal status, lawmakers have also pushed back on Newsom's plan to establish stricter Medi-Cal asset limits for seniors and adults. So the asset limit is essentially what determines whether someone qualifies for Medi-Cal coverage. So the stricter limit would have made it so less Californians qualify for these kind of Medi-Cal healthcare plans, Medicaid plans. And then they also rejected cuts to funding for the in-home health supportive services program. That was a really big sticking point. The IHSS program, it provides at-home help for those who are elderly or disabled and, you know, want care in their homes rather than having to go to a facility. As Stella mentioned, I think already lawmakers did agree to Newsom's plan to subsidize private health care for low-income residents by, $300 million. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the other health care standouts from this proposal.
Substantial, yeah. And healthcare is one of the big topics that comes out of the budget. Education, I think, is also one that gets headlines. Stella, what has been the focus of Newsom's budget proposals this year? What about the legislature's proposal when it comes to education?
Totally, yeah. So first of all, there's the agreement between Newsom and the legislature. Both of them agreed to withhold roughly $4 billion from schools in constitutionally guaranteed money. So the rationale behind that is, this constitutionally guaranteed money from Proposition 98, which the voters adopted a long time ago, this amount is calculated each year based on revenue projections. So the rationale is, we're going to withhold this amount of money from you just in case the revenue doesn't come in as high as we expected. And so they've been doing this several years in a row now in an attempt to balance the budget. But as you can imagine, the schools don't really like this because they're like, hey, we deserve this money, And so each year, the schools kind of fight the top leaders about this, saying that this is just an accounting gimmick. You're just kind of balancing the budget on our backs. And without this money, the schools would suffer. So that's where that's where Newsom and legislative leaders have a consensus on. But where they differ primarily, is in childcare. So the legislature wants to add 22,000 state-funded childcare spaces for young children, and we're talking about children ages 3 and under, to really address this preschool care shortage that some parents are panicking about. And that's partly because Newsom made it such a priority of his to expand TK, or transitional kindergarten, to serve all four-year-olds. And that took away some of the four-year-old clients from these traditional preschools. And so now some of them are struggling for funding. And so you see the legislature sort of giving a nod to that concern by saying, hey, don't worry, we're going to try to, you know, fill in that gap that's left by the TK expansion that Newsom, you know, wanted.
That's really fascinating. One part of overcoming deficits, which we've been facing for a number of years now, is raising additional revenue. What approach are state leaders and lawmakers taking to try and get more money for the budget?
So they've really been talking about it for a long time. I mean, from the very beginning of this year, there was appetite to, you know, ask companies to pay their quote unquote fair share. And outside the legislative process, you also see a lot of tax measures, right? Like, including the billionaire tax measure that I believe just officially qualified for the November ballot. There's been a lot of appetite from leaders and, you know, outside groups to try to raise an alarm. Hey, we really need some ongoing long-term revenue to counter the impact of H.R. 1, to counter the impact of all the federal funding loss. So, but they've gone back and forth as to how to do this. I mean, now, as we sort of talked about, there's the company software sales tax. There's capping businesses tax credits to roughly $5 million a year, or up to, you know, 70% of your proceeds, whichever is higher. There's also extending a tax on healthcare providers. And essentially what the legislative plan would do is to raise the tax on some of the commercial healthcare providers to match the high rate on Medi-Cal providers to comply with federal rules, but also make sure that the state has a funding stream that's coming in. And so, you know, I apologize for to our listeners for such, you know, wonky tax talk, but these are three major tax proposals we're seeing the legislature adopt, and these are primarily Newsom's idea. But what's still being negotiated, though, is I want to point to is a Senate proposal to charge big companies who have employees earning so little that they're on Medi-Cal. The Senate initially said it wanted to raise $5 to $8 billion through this fee that they charge the big companies, but have now resorted to just letting the next governor decide how to do this. But you know, we're still seeing the language being negotiated, so nothing is for sure yet. But that's an idea I wanted to flag.
Yeah, and that's interesting that we are all, of course, watched the governor's primary race. Now we're down to two candidates. We'll be watching that through November, and it's already starting to play, at least timing-wise, into budget negotiations that are going on right now. Laura, have you noticed any concerns about some of these corporate tax measures that Stella was just telling us about?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and the one that's probably gotten the most, you know, well, I don't want to say the most pushback, but there is definitely some rub and chatter about this, you know, new limiting corporate tax credits, I think, is tough for a lot of business industry groups in California. I mean, predictably, they oppose that. They say it's already really expensive to do business in California. There's a lot of regulation. Taxes are really high in California. And this policy is eliminating another tool for them to try to reduce those operating costs. And these are companies that are manufacturing or conducting research and development. You know, Silicon Valley is here in California. And so I do think one industry that's worth noting is the life sciences industry. This proposal would significantly limit the state's research and development tax credit that biotech companies who develop new drugs and medical devices really rely on to be able to do that work here in California. And it's also what has drawn a lot of, you know, these companies to be here in California and employ Californians. And so I think these companies, these biotech companies that do R&D, the industry really warns that eliminating these tax credits could stifle really critical scientific innovation. And so this is actually something that's resonated with a lot of lawmakers, too. A coalition of legislators sent a letter to Assembly and Senate leadership asking them to consider ways to preserve tax benefits for this kind of research specifically. And we have yet to see, you know, what the final product is going to look like.
Well, there's also a significant amount of funding for benefits and social support programs. Stella, what sort of allocations is the legislature making for those?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that we have seen that the legislature is being more generous about than Newsom is perhaps their support for the counties to stand up a lot of these social service programs. So, for example, you know, Newsom, who has been really critical for years about, you know, counties, like what counties have to show for in terms of homelessness prevention. So in this year's budget proposal, he proposed about $500 million for homelessness funding. The legislature wants $900 million, which is $400 million more, right?
Yeah.
And so another example of you know, the legislature's generosity perhaps is in, you know, its funding toward the counties to stand up a healthcare system for all of the Californians who might fall off of Medi-Cal coverage, and then all of a sudden they are the county's responsibility to take care of, because the counties are mandated to offer them health care. And so Newsom didn't include any money for such a system for counties to do this work. But the legislature is including about $125 million for what's called indigent care, which was largely a system for the counties to do that, that went away after Obamacare came in. And so now the counties are kind of struggling to stand that up again, to serve people. And so, yeah, so, you know, overall, I guess the takeaway is that the legislature is answering the county's call perhaps more proactively than Newsom.
Yeah. And there's just so many constituencies and different groups, organizations, business community who all are affected by this massive project. Mm-hmm. Another people who play a role in crafting the budget are Republicans, the other side of the aisle. They don't often get talked about in California's supermajority. But Laura, did the Republican group push for anything specific in the budget proposal, and were some of their priorities, did they come through?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Republicans, as long as I've been following the Capitol and before when I worked in the Capitol, they've consistently always opposed this, like, Democratic-led spending plans. I think there's a lot that they disagree with and would prefer very different approaches. You know, one of those things is when it comes to new taxes. You know, they've been pretty outspoken about the aspects of this year's budget that raise taxes on businesses, which, you know, we covered earlier. They've also consistently said they want to see more money to fund Proposition 36, which was the measure that voters passed in 2024 to, like, increase criminal penalties for certain drug and theft-related crimes. And this budget does include money for localities to enforce these new penalties, but many conservatives have said it really isn't enough and that it falls short. And that might be something that, you know, Democrats disagree with, but it's something that we've continuously kind of seen this fight over Prop 36 play out at the Capitol. And, you know, Republicans, yeah, they you know, I think a lot of them did want to see money preserved for IHSS, you know, workers, which was preserved in this budget. So I think they consider that probably a win. But candidly, they don't have a lot of power when it comes to budget negotiations. And, you know, some, you know, less prominent Democrats even have a hard time getting into the room where, you know, where these conversations are happening. So it's a very challenging process to find, to be on the outside of. And I think that's kind of where a lot of Republicans find themselves, frankly.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald and Cal Matters budget reporter Yue Stella Yu about a state budget passed by lawmakers earlier this week. Okay, in the time that we've got left, Stella, I want to make sure we touch on another disagreement between Newsom and the legislature on climate funding. Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
That is a long story. but long story short, essentially, you know, you're going to see all of the conversations about the state's climate funding get punted to the summer or even the fall. Those are special funding that are not beholden to the June deadline, by the way, that which means the legislators would have more time to hash out the details with Newsom. But in general, the legislators, especially the Senate, are pretty angry with Newsom's administration for a recent overhaul that would in its climate regulations. And what the regulations mean, essentially, is that the funding that the state legislature primarily relies on to pay for a lot of climate, you know, clean energy priorities, that funding is probably going to get cut in half, which means a lot of the legislative priorities are now all at risk. And what kind of programs? They are, you know, safe drinking water, affordable housing, you know, even the state's long dragged on project, high speed rail, right? Those are some of the funding that could get threatened. And the legislators are pissed because, you know, last year Newsom made a deal with them that essentially said, hey, if you guys reauthorize this climate program that generates this money, we're going to be able to give you $1 billion from the proceeds at the legislature's discretion. But obviously with the funding prospect, I mean, that funding is going to be in danger. And so what the Senate has chosen to do and what the legislature ended up doing is to delay all of these, all the talk about the climate money to leave them that time to figure out. And so that's something that I will be following really closely during the summer before the end of session. I'm sure they're going to figure something out, but it won't be for a while.
Well, with less than 2 weeks until the July 1st deadline, it sounds like there is still quite a lot of negotiating that will be taking place. So thank you so much, Stella and Laura, for joining us to break it all down.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was Cal Matters budget reporter UA Stella Yu and Cap Radio State House politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald. We've been talking about the budget passed by state lawmakers this week, which now heads to negotiations with Governor Gavin Newsom. Up next, June is Pride Month, and we've invited the leaders of LGBT centers across Northern California to join us. They'll talk about the celebrations they've had so far, but also the challenges the community faces in this current political climate. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Andrew Garcia.